stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 2 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa. Before we get into today's topic of the tight ends don't matter strategy, which is something that I heavily subscribe to, I first need to go over a few things. First, today I'm going to be using the Warp Calculator. If you've not ever had a chance to experience it for your own leagues, the Warp Calculator is a tool that I made that you plug in your league information, and then it gives you customized values to your specific league settings that tell you the difference between one position and another. So that way you know, what kind of roster construction should I be using to build my team? And how can I take advantage of inefficiencies in other dynasty managers? From now until the start of the NFL draft, if you go onto the website southharmonff.com, you can use the code DRAFTSEASON in order to get 20% off this tool. Once again, that's southharmonff.com and use the code DRAFTSEASON. Here at South Harmon, we also have a partnership with Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you're able to get authentic signed sports collectibles from legends across the NFL, MLB, NHL, and tons of other sports. Three times a day, you can enter into a live break where live on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook, you can watch as they pull the memorabilia that you are going to win and get sent to you. Plus, everything comes with a certificate of authenticity, ensuring that every piece of memorabilia is 100% genuine. To sign up for your live break, go to signedshit or signedsh.it and use the code HARMON15 in order to save 15% on your memorabilia. Once again, that is signedshit or signedsh.it and use the code HARMON15 to save 15%. Now let's get into the episode. Since last August, I've been subscribing to this theory of tight ends don't matter. And it was to the point where in August of last year, I was selling players like Juwan Johnson for literally any draft pick that I could get. Now, a lot of people said that I was crazy for doing that and that I was selling way low. And I agree, I was selling below market value. But there was a reason that I was doing that. And it's because the tight end position doesn't matter. The tight ends don't matter strategy works best when it is in a lineup league and when you have a lower tight end premium. But what a lot of people don't realize is how high that tight end premium has to be. We found last week that 2/3 of leagues have a tight end PPR of 1 or less. So what we're going to do is we're going to step through a season's worth of playing the tight ends don't matter strategy. We're going to play tight ends that you can get off of waivers, and we're going to compare that at the end of the season to some of the top tight ends and see how close we can get to matching the production for literally zero value. To walk through this strategy, we're going to set up some ground rules, so that way we don't get hindsight playing 2020 and we have the best tight end every single week off of all these random tight end twos or whatever. So, rule number one. The player must be outside of the top 50 rostered players in the week before in order to be added. I've found that in most leagues where you have a 1 PPR for tight ends, each team tends to roster no more than usually 4 or 5 of them. And so any tight end that is outside of the top 50 is usually not rostered. You're able to go through and pick up these guys off of waivers for free or maybe a couple dollars of fab. Second rule, if I already have a player on my team, I could ignore the top 50 rostered rule. So if I pick up somebody in week 1 and they're outside of the top 50, but then they have a good week one, and week two, now they're the 40th most owned tight end. Well, because I own them on my team, I'm allowed to keep holding on to them. This is something that shows itself a lot in the tight ends don't matter strategy, is you don't have to rotate your tight end every single week. You just need to be aware of, hey, is there somebody better that I want to get than who I already have on my team? And it allows us to play through the entire season, and we're able to hold a player that we know might have a 3 or 4 week window for a little bit longer. Rule number three, if a player becomes a top 24 rostered player or a top 12 started player, I am forced to trade them away. In this experiment, it just means I can't choose them anymore until they go back below the thresholds. But in reality, if somebody were to become a top 12 started tight end, you could probably get a third out of them. Or if they're rostered in the top 24, you can probably go get a third out of them as well. Because it now means that enough people have interest in that tight end, they might be willing to pay for them. And so in the tight ends don't matter strategy, anytime my tight end is worth something, I get rid of them and pick up the next guy off of waivers. Rule number four, I can only keep one tight end on my team every single week. So I'm not going to have any tight ends on my bench. If my tight end goes on bye, I can't use him. This plays into the beauty of the tight ends don't matter strategy, in that you have more open roster spots to pick up all the other positions. You can pick up more running backs, more backup quarterbacks, and you're able to take advantage of having more shots at already owning the guy that's going to be worth a lot this coming week or to some other manager, to be able to increase the value to your team compared to wasting that roster spot on a position that you have just to make you feel good. The last rule that I'm going to use is that I can only look at players that were mentioned on Eric's Waiver Wire podcast. For those of you that didn't know, Eric, the host of America's Game here on the South Harmon Network, also does a Waiver Wire podcast during the season. During this podcast, he goes through and he not only focuses on the redraft targets, but he focuses on dynasty targets. And especially his dynasty targets are very deep dives. Some of the tight ends that he talked about and that you'll see as I go through it are guys that we're interested in because they got a 40% snap share this week. And that's all the basis that we need in order to decide, hey, I want that player. And so I'm going to use that podcast to make sure that hindsight isn't 2020 and that I know for a fact that this was a player that you could have easily targeted. And I'm also going to do my best to target the same players that I targeted when I was listening to this podcast and keep out of the bias that inherently comes from, oh yeah, I know that this person popped off and so I'm going to choose them just to make this strategy look better. I'm telling you, every decision that I make is one that I made for that exact same week last season. So let's get into week one. Now, before week one, there wasn't a waiver wire pod. So I looked at the list of all the tight ends that were outside the top 50, and we have some great names that we're going to recognize as guys that popped off later on. You have Brevin Jordan, you have Donald Parham, you have Jonnu Smith, but I didn't really know about any of those guys. They were all backups at the time. And there's one guy that's outside the top 50 that was a clear starter. And that guy was Durham Smythe. He was the only non-rookie tight end on Miami. And so I picked him up in a lot of places. And a lot of people were saying, why are you getting Durham Smythe? Like, nobody knows who he is. I'm like, I don't care. He's the tight end one on Miami. So I went and picked him up. And in week one, he got me 3 receptions for 44 yards. Nothing groundbreaking, but hey, for a guy off of waivers, that's pretty good. So let's move forward to week two. The tight ends mentioned on the podcast were Josh Oliver, Durham Smythe, the guy that I'd gotten the week before, Donald Parham, Colby Parkinson, and Will Dissly. Now, I really liked Durham Smythe after week one. Not only did he get 3 receptions for 44 yards, he actually also played 100% of the snaps in week one. So it was really, really clear that he was the top tight end. So I chose him again week two. I got 3 receptions for 23 yards. I move into week three. Week three, Durham Smythe, he's right at the top of the list again. And then I have the choice between him, Will Dissly, Will Mallory, and John Bates. Once again, I chose Durham Smythe. He just got another solid week, 3 for 23 the past week, and so I'm rolling with him again. Unfortunately, week 3, I got 1 reception for 15 yards. He got hurt partway into the week and only played like a third of the game, so you get what you get, and sometimes that just happens. So now we roll into week 4. Obviously, I still have Durham Smythe on my team, but he's hurt, so I'm not going to go with him more than likely. I have the choices also of Harrison Bryant, Andrew Ogletree, Jonnu Smith, Julian Hill, and Peyton Hendershot. Now, I'm going to choose Jonnu Smith, but the reason that I'm choosing Jonnu Smith is not because, hey, I know what's about to happen with Jonnu Smith. The reason that I chose Jonnu Smith is because he was somebody that, when you looked at the snap shares, compared to all these other guys, he was getting on the field much more. He was also getting a decent number of targets. And finally, in week 4, Jonnu Smith was the 52nd most owned tight end. I didn't have to fight for him on waivers. Nobody else noticed who he was. But because I listened to this waiver wire pod, I noticed who Jonnu Smith was, and so I went out and I got him. So week 4, Jonnu Smith comes out, and he posts 6 receptions for 95 yards. That's an awesome performance for my tight end off the waiver wire. And so as I go into week 5, I have the choice between Jonnu Smith, Andrew Ogletree, Jimmy Graham, Josh Wiley, Tanner Hudson, and Jeremy Rucker. Once again, I'm going to stick with what I've got. Jonnu Smith, after the previous week of 6 for 95, I'm not benching him. And so, sure enough, you get 6 for 67. So now we get into week 6. We still have Jonnu Smith, and now we have the choice between Andrew Ogletree and Connor Hayward. Now, Connor Hayward's on bye this week, so we actually push him off to a week 7 decision. And so now we're looking at just the choice between Jonnu Smith and Andrew Ogletree. Now, obviously, Jonnu Smith's been doing great the past 2 weeks, so we're going to keep him. And sure enough, we're rewarded with 4 receptions for 36 yards and a touchdown. Now we get to week 7, and this is where one of the rules that we haven't used yet comes up. Jonnu Smith is now started in the top 12, and he's owned in the top 24. So guess what? I've now traded him away. I've gotten value out of him. Let's say I got a third. So I got a free third, and I still haven't invested anything into my tight end position. And so now I go and I start looking at my other tight end options. I've got Charlie Kohler, Colby Parkinson, Tommy Tremble, and Connor Hayward. Now, I could go Charlie Kohler because, hey, this is when Mark Andrews is getting hurt. But I remember last year when Isaiah Likely was the guy that got a bunch of the receptions, so I decided not to go with Charlie Kohler, and I went with Connor Hayward because he was a little bit more unknown, and I figured that he actually had a decent chance of catching some passes. And sure enough, Connor Hayward in week 7, 2 receptions for 23 yards. Now we get to week 8. Week 8 was one of those weeks where bye weeks really slapped all the tight ends that you would target normally, and I didn't have any other options from the waiver wire pod. So week 8, roll out Connor Hayward again, and I get rewarded with 5 receptions for 24 yards. Week 9, still not many options. Week 9 was a huge bipocalypse across the NFL, and the only options I have are Connor Hayward and Tommy Tremble. Once again, I went with Connor Hayward, 2 receptions for 16 yards. Week 10 is a big week for the tight ends, because not only do we have Pat Freiermuth coming back, so now Connor Hayward is no longer the tight end that I want on my team, but but is also the week that Dallas Goedert goes down. And so we have a lot of options here that come from the Eagles. So we have the choices between Connor Hayward, which I have already said I'm not choosing, Tommy Tremble, Steven Sullivan, Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra, Albert Okwuegbunam, and Tanner Hudson. Now, Tanner Hudson, I'm actually going to be the one that I go for, because all the Eagles guys, I don't know who's going to be the right one. We have the choice between Stoll, Calcaterra, and Okwuegbunam, and I would rather go for Tanner Hudson, who the previous week he went 4 for 45, and Eric even said in his pod that it's a guy that he'd be willing to spend some decent fab on because he went out there and he produced quite well. And we're finally starting to see what it looks like in this Bengals tight end room. So I chose Tanner Hudson and I get rewarded with 6 receptions for 33 yards. Now, week 11, I have the choice between Tanner Hudson and Josh Wiley. Once again, I'm going to stick with Tanner Hudson. This week, he does a little bit better in the yardage, but worse in the receptions, and he gets 4 receptions for 49 yards. Week 12, once again, Mark Andrews goes down and Charlie Kohler comes right back onto our list. But we decide to ignore him. We look at our other options, Josh Wiley, who this week had more snaps than Chigakonkwo, Jeremy Ruckert, and Tommy Tremble. Once again, I'm going to stick with Tanner Hudson. No reason to change it up. I get 4 receptions for 18 yards. I'm really liking the number of receptions that Tanner Hudson is giving me, and especially with this being a PPR, I'm not really that worried about the low yardage number because that's being made up by the number of receptions. Week 13. Tanner Hudson, Jeremy Ruckert, Will Mallory, Hunter Long, Brevin Jordan. Now, once again, you're starting to see a pattern. A lot of these names keep cycling back in. And sure enough, I'm going to stick with Tanner Hudson. And I get another 4 reception performance for 35 yards. Week 14, Tanner Hudson, Lucas Kroll, Tommy Tremble, Steven Sullivan, Harrison Bryant. I choose Tanner Hudson again. And I don't get as many receptions this week, but I still get 2 receptions for 21 yards and 1 touchdown. Week 15. My choices are Tanner Hudson, Davis Allen, and that's it. Davis Allen is an intriguing target because the previous week Hunter Long got injured, and Davis Allen, as a result, got 4 for 50 and a touchdown. Now, I decide to go with, hey, maybe that's the injury blues, and he just ended up being the guy that slotted into a good game plan that wasn't really because of him. And so I just stick with Tanner Hudson, and I get 5 receptions for 49 yards. I'm liking what I'm getting out of Tanner Hudson at my tight end position, and it's just fine. Week 16, I have the choice between Tanner Hudson, Farrell Brown, and Elijah Higgins. I decide to stick with Tanner Hudson for week 16, and unfortunately, I get a dud from him. I get 1 reception for 5 yards. Still 1.5 points, so it's not nothing, but it's not as much as I would have liked. Now, week 17, championship week. The week before TJ Hockenson went down. So the two Vikings tight ends are the guys that are available on the waiver wires. We have Josh Oliver and Johnny Munt. And then I still have Tanner Hudson to choose from if I want, but after last week's dud, I'm not feeling great about him. So I'm going to switch to one of these Vikings tight ends. Now, I went against the grain, and I still have said it all this offseason, that Johnny Munt is the better target for getting reception at the tight end position than Josh Oliver. I watched enough Ravens football and I've paid attention to enough of these backup tight ends to know that Josh Oliver's not going to go out there and catch a ton of passes. And so I targeted Johnny Munt for week 17 and I was rewarded with 4 receptions for 39 yards and a touchdown. To do a quick step back from this experiment we're running, I highly recommend picking up Johnny Munt in especially your best ball leagues, as TJ Hockenson isn't going to be ready to start the year, and I think he's going to be the guy that you want to own in Minnesota. So back to wrapping up our experiment. The total stats for across the season. For our tight ends don't matter strategy, were 64 receptions for 592 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's actually pretty good at tight ends. We were 11th most in receptions, 15th most in yards, and we were tied with the 18th through 26th best tight ends in touchdowns. Overall, in warp, we created the tight end 14. That's better than Kyle Pitts, Hunter Henry, Darren Waller, and Cade Otton. In warp per game, we were better than guys like Freiermuth, Okonkwo, Musgrave, Higbee, and Ertz. Now, the ultimate test is to look at what is the difference between this custom free agency tight end that we've created versus sticking with a single tight end throughout the season. Now, I'm going to use warp per game, but also understand that some of these players that I'm going to compare them to are guys that did not play the whole season. Let's start with the bottom, Jake Ferguson. He had a warp per game of 0.059, whereas our custom player, he had 0.037. So that means that on any given week, we had a 2.2% chance of losing as a result of our free agency tight end. Now, what's the equivalent of that 2.2% at a different position? There are a bunch of guys that we don't really know or even care about. A wide receiver that was Van Jefferson, Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Trenton Irwin. At the running back position, that was guys like Latavius Murray and Miles Sanders. And at the quarterback position, that was Zach Wilson and Bryce Young. So, a bunch of guys that they didn't really do that much. Like, I don't think there were basically any teams that were like, oh yeah, I was starting that guy every single week. So, that difference is almost nothing. And where it is really interesting is looking at, okay, what's the equivalent value? We have the equivalent value of Jake Ferguson as guys like Jalen Warren, Josh Downs, Romeo Doubs, Tony Pollard, Alvin Kamara. You can get all those guys for Jake Ferguson, and those guys are going to have much, much, much more impact to your team than the difference between Jake Ferguson and whatever you can get off of waivers. Whereas we know that those wide receivers and running backs, it's hard to get those guys on waivers, especially with so many people playing the any running back on a 53 strategy. Those guys that are going to be useful that week, you either need to have them on your team already or you have to pay for them. And so we're saving ourselves by not only having more capital from having traded away a guy like Jake Ferguson, but also from having extra roster spots to allocate towards holding more of those running backs, more of those backup quarterbacks, all those little moves that are worth much more than a 2% chance of winning that week. Because keep in mind, a 2% chance of winning that week means your expectation is that over the course of 3 years, you're going to lose one game because of the strategy. There's so many other ways you can lose one game by having poor roster construction or bad players or whatever. And so your worst case scenario being I've lost one game in 3 years from doing this strategy. And in best case, you've had plenty of other capital value, etc., in order to shore up other positions that actually make a difference to your team. That is well worth it from a strategy standpoint. Now let's compare with somebody that did much better this past season with Evan Engram. So Evan Engram was a 0.81 warp per game tight end. And so comparing that to our custom player, he was about a 4.4% better tight end week over week. So now we're starting to get into, okay, what is the equivalent value that I would need to get in order for Evan Engram to be worth it? It's still not as much as you would think. We're looking at the equivalent of Michael Thomas, Dontavian Wicks, Robert Woods, Odell Beckham, Keaton Mitchell, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, Tyler Algier. And at the quarterback position, Jarrett Stidham, Bailey Zappe, and then all the rest of those backup quarterbacks of Easton Stick, Mac Jones, Tyrod Taylor, all those sorts of guys. The difference between the value of David Njoku and all those guys is astronomical. David Njoku is in the same realm as guys like Chris Godwin, Tyjae Spears, Calvin Ridley, Keenan Allen. And those guys are going to have way more of an impact to your team, because if any of those guys goes down, you can't replace them off of waivers really cheaply. And that's where the tight end position really starts to show the power of this strategy, is that off of waivers, I'm able to find guys that are actually still producing for my fantasy team at a close enough rate that the value is better served elsewhere. When a wide receiver goes down, the person that you're filling that spot with off of waivers is nowhere near as good. Whereas the tight end position, the difference is pretty minimal. And so you're able to lean into that and say, okay, I need to make sure that all my value goes into shoring up these other positions where I'm not going to be able to recover if something bad happens. Now let's look at the top tier, your Kelce's, your Hockenson's, and your Andrews. Based on last year's data, which was bad for the tight end one overall, and why I'm talking about these three as a group, it was a 7% difference between those three players and our waiver wire tight ends. Those equivalents were guys like George Pickens, Khalil Shakir, Deontay Johnson, Ty Chandler, Daryl Henderson, Javonte Williams, and quarterbacks like Tommy DeVito, Gardner Minshew, Geno Smith, and Deshaun Watson. You can get a lot of those players, and realistically, players better than a lot of those players for your TJ Hockenson's, your Mark Andrews, and your Travis Kelce's. And then if we're projecting in for future years, Trey McBride and Sam Laporta and these other young tight ends who are on the rise in terms of value, you can get so much more production by not having it invested in the top tier of the tight end position. The 7% that you make up by trading away your Sam Laporta for, say, a guy like Devonta Smith is the equivalent of being stuck at the wide receiver position starting Wandale Robinson or Elijah Moore. And that's really where this strategy, it just starts to shine. All across the tight end position, the difference between any tight end and the guys that you can get off of waivers is so much less than the equivalent value that you can get at any other position. Because you can't get guys to replace at the other positions off of waivers, because we've figured out how to properly roster construct around maximizing those guys on our teams to force our league mates to have to spend value on those positions. And so if we know that we're going to need to spend value at those positions and everyone else is forcing us to, let's try to pump as much value into those, and we can easily ignore the tight end position. We don't need to spend the 303 on Sam Laporta when we can spend it on Chris Olave or Jonathan Taylor or Kyren Williams. We don't need to spend the 403 on Trey McBride when we can get Michael Pittman or DJ Moore or Saquon Barkley. All of these decisions that we're making are just to make us feel good about, oh, I've got this young tight end and, you know, I'm projecting him to be a top tight end for the future. But we've also seen many instances where the guys that are the top tight ends, they just fade off. You've seen it with Kyle Pitts. I talked about Evan Engram this past year, but remember his rookie year versus the 3 years after that? Like he fell off hard and he was a non-contributor to your team. And so we're taking gambles on all of these players that we don't need to take gambles on. We can go with the safer wide receivers. We can go with the safer quarterbacks. And we can make sure that, hey, we're doing what is good not only for long-term dynasty value, but also for helping my team win right now. And that's ultimately where this tight ends don't matter strategy stem from, is it's the idea that I don't need any individual tight end because I can pick up these guys off waivers. And I don't want to have these guys either. I want to get rid of them. I don't want to be having some Taysom Hill or Jawan Johnson or Mike Gesicki or Dawson Knox on my team, because that's just a waste of a roster spot. Those guys don't make a difference and they don't matter at all. So if I can get anyone to pay me anything, if it's a third round pick, fourth round pick, $2 of fab, whatever, that is a positive for my team, because the real positive is the fact that somebody else is wasting their roster spot on this guy who I don't need on my team and they don't need on theirs. So go out there and sell all of your tight ends. Get the good market value out of the bigger names. And the guys that aren't, the guys that are your tight end twos, tight end threes, just sell for whatever you can. Don't worry about market value. Don't worry about fair deals. Put them on that auto-accept trade block for something that's so absurdly light that somebody's going to come and pay it. That's what I did last August when I first discovered this strategy with the introduction of AWARP, and that's what I'm going to be doing this coming season and from now into the future. Until something changes, there's no reason not to get rid of every single tight end on your low tight end PPR leagues and give yourself more flexible roster spots for literally anything else. The only downside is you have to look at some of those statistics for, hey, what was that backup tight end snap share this week? Or, hey, now that this starter's out, who's going to be the backup this coming week? Who's the blocker? Who's the route runner? And that's what this podcast is about. It's not talking about how CJ Stroud is the number one quarterback on Keep Trade Cut. It's about staying sharp, grinding that edge, and taking advantage of your league mates in ways they don't even realize. That's it for this week, and I'll see you again next week.